I'm here tonight to talk about the third best thing about dogs. The best thing about dogs, everybody agrees, is their irrepressible spirit. The second best thing about dogs, most people will tell you, is their loyalty, their undying love and affection that they show us. But the third best thing about dogs, in my view, is the insight they can give us into humans. Someday, I'll put together a complete list of all that my dog Ace has taught me about humans and charge my fellow humans exorbitant fees to read it. For now, though, tonight I'll limit myself to 10. Now, 10 is a lot of things to remember. Generally, I don't get past 3. And there's a rule here at Stoop Stories. You maybe know that you're not allowed to carry notes with you on stage. So I'm not sure I can do this alone. Fortunately, though, I'm not alone. Ace, come here. Come on.
Over here.
Here I am.
Good boy.
Got my notes. And my glasses.
You gotta come over here.
Okay. Sit. 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 You forgot the brandy. Otherwise, he did a good job. The first thing my dog taught me about humans is that humans love to state the obvious. 78% of people who pass Ace on the sidewalk feel obligated to say, "That's a big dog." The most common variation of that is, "That's a big ass dog." Sometimes they say it to the person that they're walking with, as if that person were incapable of reaching that decision themselves. Sometimes they say it to me, as if I, living in a row house with them, didn't already realize that. And sometimes they just sort of say it to the air. Come back. Come back. Ace, come here. After that, their first question will inevitably be, "What kind of dog is that?" This is dog-assisted observation number 2. Humans love, maybe even need, to categorize and label. If something doesn't fit neatly into an accepted mold, we have trouble with it. Given the answer, which I'll give you in a minute, they want to know the following, because humans, even the ones who hate math, love numbers. Which, by the way, is dog-assisted observation number 3. How old is he? How much does he weigh? How much does he eat? Dog-assisted observation 4 and 5. Humans love to talk and connect with other humans. And dogs somehow make that easier. People who otherwise wouldn't even make eye contact slow down, stop, and chat if I have Ace with me.
Come here, Acey, come here.
He's getting all the laughs.
Can you sit? Sit, 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 and lie down. Lie down, I want you to lie down. No, lie down, lie down, lie down. You stay. Now that.
Dog-assisted observation 6, 7, and 8. Can be made on the basis of the next most often asked questions. Is he mean? Does he bite? Humans like to stereotype, and dogs that are big or of certain breeds are automatically assumed to be, if not vicious, something to be wary of, when actually it's those little pipsqueak dogs you have to watch out for. Can he do any tricks? Humans love to be in control, or at least feel as if they are. Did you rescue him? Humans need heroes. I didn't climb a mountain in a snowstorm. I didn't jump into shark-infested waters and pull him to safety. I signed a few papers, that's all. Rescue has always struck me as a little too dramatic a word. But I guess it makes us feel good about ourselves, which is dog-assisted observation number 9. Humans love to feel good about themselves.
AC, come here. Come on.
Okay. I'm going to take him over to Aunt Terry, and she's going to communicate with him. They met before. If anyone was rescued here, though, it was me. In 2005, I found myself single again, having gone through my second divorce. When it ended, I was really relishing being alone. I delighted in reclaiming my space as my own, in having a bathroom sink without jewelry on it, and having a shower with just one tube of hair product in it. Moving the furniture where I wanted it, and purging the cupboard of healthy and natural foods. And when I was done with all that, I thought to myself, okay, what now? Having a big, quiet, empty life had been good for a while. I enjoyed the void. But as time passed, I was annoyed by the void. I considered the possibilities. Woodworking, I thought to myself, as I played solitaire on the computer. I always liked woodworking. A health club, I reflected, as I sat on the couch in front of another episode of CSI somewhere or another. It would be good to get in shape. Volunteer work, I pondered as I popped open another beer. That would be fulfilling. I feared that I was going to begin talking to myself, talking to myself more, that I was becoming a hermit, one of those old men who shuffle around the house in their slippers, and when they finally get where they're going, forget why they've gone there. It was then that my job as a reporter sent me one Saturday to the Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Shelter, or Barks. Yay, Barks, formerly the City Dog Pound. It was for a story on people who spend their weekends doing volunteer work. And I was interviewing folks who donated their Saturdays and Sundays to cleaning out the kennels and walking the dogs, playing with cats and the like. It was there I first saw Ace, a 6-month-old mutt described in some records as a shepherd mix and others as a hound mix. We hit it off, which really wasn't so surprising because I pretty much love all dogs and he, as it turned out, loves all humans. My interviewing done, I headed back that Saturday to my empty, quiet house, and as I played solitaire and watched CSI, I couldn't afford The Wire, and drank beer, I found myself thinking two things. I have a pretty big void. That was a pretty fine dog. By the time the next Saturday rolled around, my story was in the paper, along with a photo of Ace with one of the volunteers. I figured he'd be adopted right away. And sure enough, before they even opened the doors to the shelter that day, somebody was there waiting to adopt him. It was me. Ace got bigger than expected. The shelter predicted he'd be a medium-sized dog. He turned out to be neither hound nor shepherd, but according to a DNA test I had done, a mix of Chow and Rottweiler. One of the first things he did back home was chew up my bedroom slippers, postponing at least my destiny as an old man shuffling about the house. In the first few weeks I had him, he gained 10 pounds and I lost 5 from our twice-a-day walks to Riverside Park. He was quick to make friends, unlike me, and highly sociable, unlike me. But with him, through him, I made new friends. There was a park we passed by on our way back from the park every day called the Idle Hour on Fort Avenue. Yay, Idle Hour. Yeah, okay. And Ace, having been treated in a friendly manner the one time, first time he went in there, always wanted to insisted actually that we go back in every time we went by. And he does actually pull me in. I have to open the door, but he does the rest. As a pup, he would lay on the radiator cover next to the bar stool by the window. He quickly outgrew that, but he remained happy to hang out there, jumping up and putting his paws on the counter every time he heard ice hit glass, eager to greet new customers and content to just lay on the floor and be a bar dog. Suddenly, I had two social venues, the park and the bar. And though I've never been great at getting a conversation started, Ace ensured that would always happen. He wasn't just filling my void and providing companionship, he was making up for my shortcomings, not to mention he was and remains a total chick magnet. The question might arise, since I'm about to ask it, am I exploiting him? He has appeared in The Sun, where I used to work, three times in an essay I wrote about adopting him, in a series of articles and video documentary tracing his roots and testing his DNA, and in a story about him becoming a therapy dog. His photo is all over the website I now do, ohmydog.com. Plenty of prime advertising space still available. Some may see that as exploitation. I prefer to look at it as sharing the wonders of Ace. Right now, for instance, he's helping me stand here and do this without breaking into a cold sweat. The truth is, I'd rather be out there listening than up here talking. Ace would probably rather be out there with you as well, sticking his nose in your purses and pockets to determine if any among you might be hiding a treat. Instead, he's under my control, or is under Terry's control. Sometimes it strikes me as unfair in light of all he does for me. He gives me a more fulfilled life, something to write about, something to talk about, a snuggle buddy, best friend, and home security system. I give him dog food, the occasional treat, and control him. Ace, 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 over here. He never misses. It's nerves. Nerves. The truth is, though, they manipulate us too. And as the dog-human relationship continues to evolve since the days they were wolves living on the fringes of town, they're getting better and better at it. So here, finally, is dog-assisted observation number 10. Humans, in addition to being manipulative, are quite manipulable, if that's even a word. How many of you have dogs that grab their own leash when they're ready to go for a walk? Ace doesn't do that, but he does a sort of half howl, half moan noise. It means he's ready to roll. Dogs can manipulate us with their cuteness, with a head tilt, a howl, a whine, or a stare, as in, sure, you can refuse to give me any of that stuff you're eating, but I'm going to stare at you unwaveringly as every single bite goes into your mouth for the next 30 minutes until eventually you cave in. It is, if I might use a big word, a symbiotic relationship. Humans and dogs, ever since they started depending on each other, have become more and more dependent on each other. Overall, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The two species tend to bring out the best in each other. I don't know how he feels about it, but Ace, beyond any doubt, has made me a better human. He's taught me lots. I've learned that size doesn't matter. That breed doesn't matter. That a king-size bed might be a good investment. And that sometimes even the obvious needs to be stated. So allow me to do so in case I haven't gotten this point across. From his head to his curly tail, inside and out, and in ways that go far beyond anything anyone can measure, Ace is a big, big dog. Thank you.